Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Frederick. Really appreciate that. Could not begin this service without, or this sermon without giving a word of blessing. It wouldn't be right. And so to the saints in Corona, those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed each and every one of you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessings you give. Thank you for the reminder as we look forward to a new year that you give us new life each and every day. As we contemplate the sixth word of the cross, may our eyes be opened. May we see new things of what you have done for us. Speak through me. Give us all, including myself, ears to hear what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. Tetelestai! One word. That one word embraced the entire mission of the Messiah. Tetelestai! One word that will reverberate and echo throughout the universe forever and ever. Eternity alone will reveal the depth of its meaning. That word we translate, it is finished. Over the last year and a half or so at every communion service, we've been looking at the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. As I said in the prayer, we're looking at the sixth one in John 19, verse 30. But before we really look at it, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to really think about it. Do you really believe that Jesus meant what he said? I'll ask it again. Do you really believe that Jesus meant what he said? We're going to look at this word, this one word. And first we're going to look at how he said it, then when he said it, and then why he said it. It's only recorded in the Gospel of John, but Mark and Luke refer to it. Because after it talks about Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And after they talk about him receiving the wine vinegar from the sponge on a hyssop branch, which was used to put the blood on the doorpost for Passover, you remember. It says that Jesus said with a loud cry, or he cried with a loud voice. And that word for voice is used to mean to declare, to enunciate, to declare something of importance. It means to disclose that which has happened. So Jesus cried out, and the word for cried out means to shout. Jesus cried out with a voice to disclose what was really going on. And so how he said it is very important, because Jesus said this word not as a word of resignation, as if to say, I'm dying. Now, I haven't been around a huge number of people as they died. I've been around several. And I can never remember any of them shouting out as they were preparing to die. They may have been in pain and struggling, but they weren't shouting out. Jesus did not say this as a word of surrender to say, I guess I lost. I'm caving in. Jesus did not say this word simply as a matter of fact to say, I'm dying now. Goodbye. This word, more than anything else, was a word of victory. In the original language, it is in the perfect tense. That means nothing to us What it really means in the perfect tense is this is something that has happened, it has been accomplished, and nothing else needs to be done. Nothing else needs to be done. When Jesus said, "It is finished," when he cried out with that loud voice, I believe a miracle took place. And it was a twofold miracle, partly answered through the kindness of a soldier. When Jesus said, "I thirst," he gave him the wine vinegar that allowed his parched mouth and throat to be able to speak. But beyond that, it takes a great deal of effort to shout out something. And Jesus was in no physical shape to shout anything. It takes a great deal of physical effort to be able to be heard above other people, but it was heard so much that three gospel writers said he cried out. I believe Jesus cried out because he wanted heaven, the angels, and the unfallen universe to rejoice at what he'd done. I think Jesus cried out because he wanted the devil and the angels to hear it, and when they did, they trembled. I believe Jesus cried out because he wanted the earth and all those who would ever hear the story to recognize that they have the opportunity to share in the victory. It is finished. But what's also important is when he said it. He said it just before he died. He said it when, for all practical purposes, all those who were there thought it was over. When all those who were surrounding him thought his life had been a failure. He said it when there was a sign above his head calling him a common criminal. He said it as he was hanging there naked in shame. He said it with stripes on his back in every joint and part of his body aching. He said it when he looked as if he was defeated. He said it when the devil and his angels were about to claim the victory. He said it when the religious leaders and those who hated him were about to go home gloating. He said it when all seemed to be lost. It is finished, a shout of victory. In verity, Jesus snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. Why? Why did he say it? Because he wanted everyone to know he had accomplished his task. Just a few verses before, in verse 26, it said, Jesus, having accomplished what his Father had asked him to do, he knew he'd accomplished his task. He wanted everyone to know that the victory was won. He wanted everyone to know that the perfect salvation for a sinning world was accomplished. In fact, if you think about it, perhaps there's a tie to a very familiar passage for most of us who are Seventh-day Adventists from Daniel chapter 9. Verse 24. Think about the word finished as I read this verse. 77s, and it could be 70 weeks, and many Bible in the footnote would say 490 years, are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. We, along with many others, believe that this passage refers to Jesus. For only he could put a finish to sin. Only he could put an end to sin and finish the transgression. Only he could atone for wickedness. Only he could bring in everlasting righteousness. Perhaps that verse stuck out in the minds of those who heard Jesus proclaim, "It is finished." I want you to think about what it means. What was finished? What did Jesus accomplish? What did he win? What did he do? Let me just share a few things. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He wanted you and me and the universe to know that he had provided salvation for those who are lost. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he wanted us to know that he and he alone can remove guilt from the guilty. When he cried out, "It is finished," he wanted us to know that he gives righteousness to those who are unrighteous. He wanted us to know that he can create saints out of sinners. When he cried out, "It is finished," he wanted us to know that he can provide healing for those who are hurting and suffering and in pain. When he cried out, "It is finished," he wanted us to know that he and he alone can give life to those who have died. He wanted us to know that he can provide hope for the hopeless. He wanted us to know that he has put an end to the controversy in this universe. There may be battles, and there are battles that are still being fought, but he wanted us to know that by trusting in him, victory is won. Amen. So I want to ask you again, do you believe the word of Jesus? I think it was last communion time I came up with a sentence. I've refined it somewhat, and I want to share it with you again because it fits what we're talking about this morning. Nothing less than the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son would be accepted as a solution to the problem of sin. Nothing more than his life, death, and resurrection can provide a solution to the problem of sin. Do you believe the word of Jesus? If you don't, let me just share with you a few other texts that say what Jesus said was true. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you notice who is the one who provides in both these verses? Is it you or me? Absolutely not. There's one more verse I'd like to bring to your attention. 1 Peter 2:24 to 25. Christ himself carried our sins in his body to the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. It is by his wounds that you have been healed. You were like sheep that had lost their way, but now you have been brought back to follow the shepherd and keeper of your souls. It is finished. When Jesus made that cry, he was telling the universe, the devil and his angels, and you and me, he has won the victory for us. Do you believe what Jesus said? If you believe the words of Jesus, would you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. Boy, that was weak. I know when I sit out there, I hate to do this. I hate when people do this, but it just seems to me if we really believe that we ought to be standing and shouting and everything else. Do you believe that Jesus won the victory for you? Thank you. We are going to take part in the Lord's Supper.